Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. Well, I've got a lot to cover. I'm never going to get through everything. I'm just going to say that in advance. I have failed to talk with you guys about the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And yet we're approaching the Feast of Christ the King on this Sunday. And next week is Thanksgiving week. And then we have Advent coming. So, but I have something important that I feel called to share with you to get launched. And then I'll come around to the four last things. Back in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name. I thank you and praise you for the graces that you've given to us. And Lord, I ask a blessing upon the ministry of Acts 29 and Father John Ricardo and his other staff that accompany him and fostering renewal in the priesthood and in the church. And Lord, I ask that you give me the grace to speak well, to be an encouragement and maybe a challenging witness in an appropriate way to those who listen. And Lord, help us to never settle for less. Help us to be able to look to you and to honor you in how we live our lives today. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I want to begin with, I shouldn't even say that. I'm beginning with a truth that I think is so very important in our lives. Being critical is easy. Being critical in a prayerful way is necessary. It's easy to be critical. It's easy to see the limitations of something, to see how something or someone or some situation has fallen short of what is ideal or what is just or what is godly. I mean, we bump into that all the time. Yesterday, I had a phone call with someone who had come in and was helping us figure out how to design our kitchen. We had a flooding issue, and it gave us a chance to do some renovation. It's small, but we needed someone to come in and do some renovation. And so this woman had explained how she works and the cost and all of this. And so she came in and she did her session with us, and afterwards then sent us an email and said, okay, here's the cost to do all of this other stuff. And we're like, oh, what just happened? What just happened? We thought that the cost was X, and all of a sudden the cost is X plus a whole lot more. And so I called, and in Carrie's words, not so gently, challenged the price of what she was offering to us. So I did a critique. I put into question what she was sending to us. And when we got off the phone, she said to me, she said, you know, you're normally more friendly or kind, or you try to be funny and approach it in a more relational way, but didn't really see that happen here in this instance. And I shared with her why. I talked about the nature of the communication that was happening along the way. And so I didn't think that the fun, friendly, happy, relational voice was really appropriate in that moment. However, I'm not sure how good my discernment was because of the amount of prayer that had gone into my day. Okay, did you hear what I just said? How much prayer had gone into my day? I know that when I get up early and pray in a substantial way, in a substantial way often means that I'm drawn into the prayer of the church, welcoming in the word of God, am quiet and allowing the Lord to minister to me, am journaling and reflecting on what the Lord is communicating to me or my best sense about that and what's being stirred in me, and that I'm going to Mass and receiving Holy Communion, and then launching into my day. Now, when that happens, I get this, let's call it a fund of grace. I have this, like this container. I'm using a very not perfect image, right? It's an analogy, right? I've got this container of grace that I'm drawing from that allows me to stay in a perspective that's godly, that allows me to stay in the lane of God's grace. And that would allow me, that gives me the strength to speak well, to speak in a way that is gentle and kind, but also firm and correct and clear, right? And honestly, she was right. Carrie was right. Even if we took a transcript or heard a recording of the conversation, you could say, Tom, you didn't say anything wrong. You weren't overly harsh or mean or, what you said was fine. From the inside of the experience of it, from the inside, I did sense that it wasn't as, boy, here's a cool word, fulsome. There wasn't this full sense that I was moving in a godly way. So I know that. I know that. And so I'm sharing that with you as I'm moving into the program, because I'm going to share about a bit more of the presentation that Father John Ricardo gave. And there's so much good to say about him and his ministry and the presentation, but I'm also going to share some things that are complementary and supplementary. And let's say some of, or even, I don't want to say the word contradictory, but I want to say they run in a different direction than what he's proposing. And I don't want this to be heard as I'm right, he's wrong, but rather I want to share from my own journey of faith the things that I think would complement and supplement what he said, to be able to present them to you. And I think this is the idea, is I want to present them to you to ponder and think about, to, you know, take into your own thinking and say, you know, I'm going to consider that. I'm going to consider that. And this is what I have in mind. This is the week that's leading up to the Feast of Christ the King. At Mass yesterday, it was one of my favorite gospel stories that relate to Jesus coming back. And he tells the parable of the owner who gives a gold coin to these different tenants. And he comes back and says, okay, what did you do with the gold coin? Right. And you know the story, but it's in this particular telling of the story, of the parable, that the person who was given one gold coin comes back and says, I made 10 gold coins. I 10x'd your investment in me. Okay, some of you are now thinking, hey, wait a minute, I heard Tom say that word 10x before. I hadn't made this connection, and so I'm super excited about it. And so he says, you'll get 10, you're going to be put in charge of 10 cities. You'll be put in charge of 10 cities. And then the person who gets 5, in charge of 5 cities, the person who's won one city, and the person who buried it loses it, and that's given to the person with the 10 cities. So I want you to stop and think about this, right? So we're approaching death, judgment, heaven, and hell, right? Those are the four last things. And again, I'm going to get there. I'm not going to cover death, judgment, heaven, and hell yet, but hold on to that. These are themes that are worth thinking about, worth reflecting on. It can change how you live. It can change how you live today. And this is the theme that I want to focus on. What does it take to disrupt how we're living today to live in a way that's more in accord with God's call and plan. How do we disrupt? How do we change the direction? But not just change the direction, right? It's change the things we're doing to try to change the direction. Okay, did you get that? How do we change the things that we're trying that aren't really working? They're not succeeding to bring about the removing of the blockages or the advancing of the virtue and holiness and giftings so that we are becoming more like the saints that the Lord intends for us and we're accomplishing his mission more fully. Right? That's the call. And it ties back to this parable because of the outcome, the reward given to the first servant who's given 10 cities. And Carrie and I took that image of 10 cities as the reward for being a generous steward who was all in and living for the Lord and living the stewardship of the life that God has given. And we would encapsulate it by saying, I want to live a 10 cities life. Lord, give me the grace to live a 10 cities life. I don't want to live this one life I've lived, this one gold coin life that you've entrusted me with. I don't certainly want to bury it out of fear. I don't want to bury it out of fear. And neither do I want to just settle for the fact that I'm kind of proud of the fact that I realize I've been given a gold coin. Here I am. I realize that I was created by God. God the Father, the Blessed Trinity has revealed who he is. And I've been given the gift of a Catholic faith. And boy, what a gold coin I've received. And I just want to make sure that I'm not committing a mortal sin, striving to live the Ten Commandments, being faithful to the laws of the church. And I'm going to make it. Get in through the door of heaven, and I get a gold coin, and I made it. There it is. Woo, made it to heaven. Praise God. Now, not a bad goal, right? But that's a single gold coin life. Come on. We're made for more than that. We're made for more than a two gold coin life. Right? That's twice as good as the one who's just doing the single thing, right? Or I want to do more, better than five. Five gold coins seems like five times the return on the investment that the Lord has made in us. I want to live that 10 cities life. I want to live a 10 cities life. Living a 10 cities life is not going to be marked by being comfortable. It's not going to be marked by doing what's easy. Living a 10 cities life isn't going to just float along with the culture. It's going to stand up when the culture says, or the wider society says to Catholics or Christians, sit down. It's going to speak out when the society around us says, be quiet. And it's going to push back when the society is pushing up against us and saying, make room, stop doing what you're doing and make way for what we're doing. And when you think about it like that, a 10 cities life, I want to make it just really abundantly obvious that's available to you. It doesn't matter how old you are, Abraham. I was saying that because he was very old when he got his call. Right? So when you're hearing this, you can say yes. You can say yes today. Yes now. Yes. From today on, Lord, I'm signing up. I want a 10 cities life. And so whatever that means, I don't even know what it means. I don't know what that's going to ask from me. I don't know how that's going to stretch me. I don't know the trials and difficulties that are going to come upon me. I don't know that the suffering that will introduce into my life. I don't know the extent to which the Lord is going to ask me to give more of myself. But I do know that I want a life that ends up where the Lord is saying, I gave you a coin. You gave me back 10. Here's your reward. A 10 cities life. You're in charge of 10 cities. My brothers and sisters, that kind of aspirational prayer is available to you. And if it's stirring something in you, I hope and pray that you'll continue listening. And if it's something that says, that's too much for me, then I'm going to ask, will you pray for me? Will you pray for Father John Ricardo? Will you pray for your priests, your bishops, to live a 10 cities life? That's what it's going to take today for us to fulfill God's call. A bunch of disciples willing to live a 10 cities life. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. So I'm using this analogy of a 10 cities life. Let me give you another word. This is a word drawn from our Catholic tradition, heroic. So as men or women who have lived this exemplary Catholic Christian life and who have died, and they want to be proposed for canonization, proposed to enter the process where they would be named a saint. First stage, the first level of entry point, that is where their lives would be examined. And this is this is what would get them to be named venerable, is looking at their lives. And what they're looking for is heroic virtue. Heroic. I think that that's a good way of helping to complement the idea of a 10 cities life. Right? A 10 cities life is, right, it's the life that is the reward for being entrusted with that gold coin of your life and of your Catholic faith, and saying there's this extraordinary fruitfulness that comes from it. I just used the word fruitfulness. Extraordinary fruitfulness is not the same as extraordinary results. Do not mistake those two things. Extraordinary fruitfulness, heroic virtue, is not measured by the number of followers, fans, by measurable things like how famous, how visible, powerful, how well known, all those things that we quickly utilize to identify who is heroic in their action. Right? What was it? In the last couple of weeks, there was the gospel where the people were, marveling at the temple and people coming and giving gifts. And there was the widow who gives a couple of pennies. The widow's mite, she gives just a tiny little bit into the temple treasury. And what does Jesus say? She has given more than all the rest. It wasn't measured by the the quantity of what she gave, it was what? It was measured by the fact that she gave of her substance, all that she had to live on. Her act of giving from a visible, measurable standpoint was almost nothing. From the spiritual fruitfulness standpoint, from the act of heroic virtue on display and radical generosity, the 10 cities life perspective. Oh, she was heroic. She was saintly. She was living that 10 cities life and giving the widow's mite, giving that tiny little bit that she gave. So it's available to all of us. So it's not simply available to those who, again, have a certain position or a degree or things like that. No. In fact, it would almost seem to be the case that it's harder for those who have many things, who have many riches. Right, the rich young man went away sad when he was called to live a 10 cities life. Come and give it all away. Give it all away and follow me. Right? He was given the opportunity. It wasn't a demand. It was an opportunity. You know, it was like, yeah, hey, you're walking a path to salvation. You got a gold coin life right now, but I'm offering you a 10 cities life. Abandon your nets and the fish, the catch, and come and follow me. But that act of total abandonment. Wow, there we go. Okay. Abandonment to divine providence. Yesterday was the feast day of Our Lady of Divine Providence. I didn't know that. Mary Grace, my oldest daughter, sent that to me in a text. Hey, yesterday was the feast of Our Lady of Divine Providence. I'm like, oh, how fitting. Oh, how suitable. Yeah, Blessed Mother, I need you to be praying for me to understand the ways of divine providence. That all that's happening is unfolding as God's will for me and for my life and for my loved ones right now. And it's my call to abandon myself fully, completely, finally, forever into the hands of the Lord. And let's say it this way, through the Immaculate Heart of our Mother Mary, through her Immaculate Heart. Yes, Mother Mary, I'm in. I'm giving myself to you, Lord. So, brothers and sisters, we're launching on the heroic life that leads to a 10 cities reward by an act of radical abandonment, of surrender, abandonment, and entrustment into the hands and heart of Jesus Christ through the hands and heart of our Blessed Mother, as an act of great gratitude to our provident Father, our good and provident Father. That's the life I want to live. And you know what? You can live that. It's in front of you today. It's in front of us today as an option. And so when we start with that, does that mean that, you know, we're good to go after that? Well, no. But when we start with that, what does that actually sound like in a prayer? I'm going to pray a prayer that is, it's just from the heart. I don't have it written down. I didn't like look one up online. It's just a prayer that just is like, it comes from my heart. And you can run alongside that prayer. You can kind of jump in and say, okay, Tom, I'm with you in this prayer. And it's going to be a prayer of desiring to live a 10 cities life through an act of complete abandonment into the hands of the Lord. Trusting that what he has for us is good and holy, and it'll cleanse us if it's hard, if it's a suffering, it will cleanse us. It will be useful to the Lord in bringing about salvation. It doesn't have to be pleasant and easy. In fact, it's most likely the opposite. It's going to be very humbling. It's going to be humbling because it'll reveal to us not only the way that we fall short, and we fall short so often, too often, in ways that are just, for me personally, just embarrassing to myself. Like, I'm like, really, Tom? But also, in a way that makes room for God's shocking generosity to be poured forth in our lives, that can just fill us to overflowing. So I'm gonna say this prayer, and I'm gonna say that this is a, for those of you that are like, Tom, I've lived this way for 40 or 50 years. Praise God. Praise God. I love that. Thank you. But we need you to step forward with all of the might and the depth of your prayer and join in with me and say it better yourself. Say it more perfectly yourself. Because the church is in, at least from the visible, measurable aspects of it, in desperate need for mighty acts of radical abandonment to God's holy and divine providence and a willingness to put everything out on the table, to just put it all out there and just say, Lord, whatever you want. Okay? So enough of me talking about prayers of divine providence and abandonment. And now it's time to actually say prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, you said, do not live in fear, little flock. It has pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. And so, Jesus, I come before you and I thank you with all the depths of my heart for the gift of faith that you have so mercifully and generously poured out upon my life and have protected and stirred and grown by the gift of your Spirit and by the mighty ministry of guardian angels and saints accompanying me. And I praise and honor you today, Jesus, along with my brothers and sisters who are with me. And I ask and I pray and I plead, Jesus, that you would draw close to us in the right now moment of this prayer, and that you would live in us an act of complete self-giving to the Father. Jesus, live it in us, please. Stir it into flame in us by the gift of your Holy Spirit. Make it alive in us, Jesus. Speak those words from the cross in our lives. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And so I do say this now, Jesus, to you. And I hope and pray that you say it in me, so I'm saying it together with you. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And I say to you, Jesus, I surrender. I give up and I give over all that I am, all that I have, all that I've been given, all that is today and is to come, fully, freely, and completely. I give it to you forever. I give myself to you. Father, I approach you and I ask that you would hear my calling out to you as Abba Father because of Jesus. And I say, together with and on behalf of and in the place of all these other dear ones who are with me, Father, pour out upon us, please, your shocking generosity to fill us to overflowing, to wash away the resistance, to uplift and to push away boulders and walls of rebellion and fill us to overflowing with your compassion and your kindness. Sever connections, Jesus, in your holy name. Jesus, come and sever connections to anything that is dark or demonic in our lives, anything that holds us back from a heroic living of our life of faith. Jesus, we look to you today. Please look us in the eyes, grab our hearts and souls, and just draw us into your loving gaze. And may the fire of your Holy Spirit be stirred into flame in us as in a new Pentecost, a new release of the power of Pentecost in our lives, so that we would move in power, in new power, in new grace, in new stirrings and anointings of your Holy Spirit, new giftings of wisdom and insight, knowledge and understanding, courage. Give us that fortitude to be able to press forward. Give us a new desire, a new urge, a new zeal to stand up and speak out and push back as you would lead us, Lord, not as we would want, not in accord with our wounds and our anger and our frustration, but in accord with your call, your zeal, that your zeal for your house would consume us, your zeal for the church to be holy, a spotless bride, the church to be freed from blasphemy and sacrilege, the church to be free from idolatry and atheistic doubt, the church that can be bound up in mistrust and proud, clinging to our own thinking. Cleanse us of these things, Jesus, please. Do not hold back. Lord, we long to live a 10 cities life. Lord, we long to live a life that when we die, we come before you and you bring that scripture up and you say, well done, good and faithful servant. The gold coin of the life I've given you, you, by the gifts and graces I have stirred in you, you have said yes to the opportunity. You have said yes to this divine disruption of the life you were living. And you have said yes to the breakthroughs that I've willed for you. And you have allowed me to carry you to a fullness of a 10 cities life. And I say yes to that, Jesus. Speak those words to us now. Speak those words to me now, Lord. I say yes to them. Lord, that's what I want. Whatever else I want in my life, Lord, I want to honor you in the one life that I have and in the time that remains, to honor you fully, completely, perfectly, in the ways that I fall short, that I would be repentant and strive for even greater conformity to your will, O Lord. That's what I want. That's what I desire. And Lord, to fulfill your mission in ways that I don't hold back what it is you'll be doing. I'm not slowing you down, Lord. I'm not settling for less. I'm not just accepting a degree of just comfort, Lord, and ease and a life marked by easy things, Lord. I want the difficult good, Lord. I want the heights, Lord. I want the heights, Lord. Shepherd me into the heights. Call me up into the heights of your transfigured glory. Call me up unto the heights of union with you and your passion and death on the cross in ways that you will and decide, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord, just may my life be fruitfully used to bring about the salvation of souls in accord with your redeeming act on the cross. Lord, whatever it is, just, Lord, let that happen. Let that happen, Lord. And Lord, I just surrender the prayer into your hands. I just surrender myself into your hands. I surrender my spouse and my kids, each and all of them, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, children to come, siblings, parents, family members, careers, finances, vehicles, places to live, places to move to, places that you're summoning us, Lord. Say yes in advance. Whatever it is you ask, Lord, I say yes in advance. Come, Holy Spirit. Forge in me a radical docility to the promptings that the Lord Jesus has for my life. I say yes to you, Holy Spirit. And I make this prayer in your holy name. Amen. And I just ask for the beautiful, sweet, mighty, powerful intercession of the great saints of the church who lived this path, walked this path, lived that prayer. Beautifully, it went beyond that prayer and how they lived. St. John of the Cross, pray for us. St. Catherine of Siena, pray for us. St. John Vianney, pray for us. St. Joan of Arc, pray for us. Beautiful, sweet angels and saints, pray for us. Family, patron saints and family guardian angels, pray for us. Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whew, there we go. All right. I am actually up against a break. When I come back, I'll share with you a bit more just flowing from that prayer. I hope that that was a blessing to you. Back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program.
All right.
So, here we go. That prayer was, again, it just sort of, was from the heart. It was spontaneous, but I was attempting to follow, right? That sense of, okay, Lord, what are you stirring in me to say? That was an expression of what? Abandoning myself into God's hands. You can access this prayer if you found it helpful. This program is turned into a podcast. You can find it on mycatholicfaith.org. You can look up the Dr. Tom Curran podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and just go to the section and you can just listen to the prayer. If you found that helpful, if you want to like lean on it or lean into it. But the idea is this: take a look at the vitality of the Catholic Church in something like a visible, measurable way. You see that the numbers are shrinking and have been shrinking for 50 years, 54 years, or even longer. And you think about the number of like powerful, beautiful initiatives that are going on out there, right, in the church. The movements that have happened, and then the programs and initiatives and ministries that are out there, like Father John Ricardo's. And yet, what do you see? You see so many efforts of dioceses shrinking the number of parishes because of the shrinking number of priests, because of the shrinking number of people, and the age of priests getting older, average age, and the average age of parishioners getting older, the shrinking number of people getting married, the number of converts in the church, and the increase in the number of nuns and duns, right? Those who no longer identify with a faith at all, and those who are done with religious practice, as well as the weakness of the belief of those who self-identify as Catholic, whether it's in their practice or their beliefs, like their belief in the Eucharist, right? All of those things are, if I have to put it in one word, it's a catastrophe. It's a calamity. For years I talked about, if we don't repent, if we don't change, if we don't get more in line with God's call for our lives and strive to really go all in serving Him, we better watch out, because a calamity will happen. And then I don't even remember where I heard it, but there was someone online who said, you know, we're not waiting for a catastrophe or a calamity. We're already in the middle of one, and pointed to some of these statistics. And I'm not taking the time to dig out percentages and all of this, but you know the phenomenon. And the question is, what do we do about it? What do we actually do about it to stem the tide? How do we stem the tide? And I've already shared with you that I recognized 6 years ago that the tide was going to be stemmed not by another program, not by a new ministry, not by someone who found the secret key to cause parishes to get renewed. It was going to be renewed. The church in the world is going to be renewed through those secret, individual, heroic acts of surrendering oneself to the Lord and pursuing holiness in mighty and vigorous ways. It comes back, brothers and sisters, to you and to me. In the silence of our hearts, in the quiet of our lives, in the hidden places, and those secret closets that we go into, where we pray to the Father in secret, because the Father sees in secret. That's the basis. That's the wellspring. That's what's going to make the difference, brothers and sisters. What we need is an awakening, a disruption of settling for lives that ignore that call to a radical act of self surrender and abandonment into God's hands, and a desperate cry to the Lord to receive the totality of our lives. And then, you know what? Go live your day. Go live your day from that. That's the amazing thing. It's like, if we can use that secret hidden act, right? A lot of what I actually prayed would be just a more extended form of morning offering and acts of faith, hope, and love, right? It really is. It's not. There's nothing like new or unheard of. No, the things that I was just praying for are the things that are at the basis for like how we're called to live our lives. Now, the call is there. Okay. The call is there, and the call is there because we're united to Christ, Christ who is priest, prophet, and king. It's in the catechism. Here, look, just listen to this. All right. So just to let you know, the vocation of lay people, here you go. This is begins in paragraph 897, but I'm going to just cherry pick a few things in 898 and 899, 901. Vocation of lay people, by reason of their special vocation, that's yours, it belongs to you, the laity, to seek the kingdom of God. To seek the kingdom of God. That was the beginning of my prayer, right? Father's pleased to give you the kingdom by engaging in temporal affairs and directing them according to God's will. Okay, temporal affairs. That's the world outside the church. That's the world of your workplace, of your sports teams, of your school, of your neighborhood, of your community, of your state, of your country, of this world. To seek the kingdom of God by engaging in temporal affairs and directing them, not hoping, not hand-wringing, not just saying, oh, well, I'm powerless in front of this. No, we're called to direct them according to God's will. It pertains to us, the laity, in a special way to illuminate and order all temporal things with which we are closely associated, that these may always be affected and grow according to Christ and may be to the glory of the Creator and Redeemer. All right, things that we're closely associated with, which is what? Our own household. How are we living? You know, you hear about that idea, the call to sanctity is in fulfilling the duties in your state and life. Okay, so it's right here. It begins right in your home. You don't have to go any further. Right in your home. Sanctify that environment. Sanctify those relationships. Sanctify how you spend your time, your energy, your money, your focus, your attention. Is it glorifying Christ? Continuing. The initiative of lay Christians, paragraph 899, is necessary. The initiative of us is necessary, especially when the matter involves discovering or inventing the means for permeating social, political, and economic realities with the demands of Christian doctrine and life. Christian doctrine and life, like what? Like the preciousness of human life from conception to natural death. So that means abortion. That means contraception. That means understanding the nature of marriage in accord with God's plan as between a man and a woman. That means understanding sexuality as God created us male and female. That means the end of life as something that is precious and ought to be honored and not allowing for physician-assisted suicide. That means creating a culture that is as a preferential option for the poor, that those who are in need are going to be cared for by those who've been given more than their fair share of this world's goods, right? This is, we have to permeate social, political, economic realities with the demands of Christian doctrine and life. Is that happening? Is that happening in our culture today? Is that happening in our society today? It's overwhelming when we think about how do we take on the whole world. We don't have to take on the whole world. Start with your own world. Start with your own relationships. Start with those things that are closest to you. This is where you're going to become a saint. Not by becoming overwhelmed with anxiety and stress and distress over the things happening in the world, but by beginning right here and now with your own life and the lives of your own family. This is where God is going to make you a saint. All right, I'm coming up against a break. When we come back, I'm going to continue this conversation, leaning on the catechism to help us understand and live out our call to be salt, light, and leaven. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. So I know today I said I was going to talk about the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell, but I'm actually taking a look at death and judgment, if you will, and heaven and hell through the lens of how is our lives going to be judged, measured, and rewarded by how we're living the life we've been entrusted with. So that living a 10 cities life image, right from the parable, you've been given the gold coin of a Catholic faith. God has planted you in this moment in history, and he's got a call for you. Catechism says it. Lay believers are in the front line of church life, the front line, right? We're not hiding. But Father John Ricardo, he's like, hey, too often we look to the priests to be on the front line. No, it's the laity that are on the front line. For them, the church is the animating principle of human society, animating principle. Okay, did you get that? That means that our faith has to be so alive in us, animating us, that wherever we go, when we go and we're hanging out in the sidelines of the volleyball team, the way that we're talking with the other people around us, are we hiding our faith? We don't have to like wear a glowing Jesus head, but are we introducing the reality that we are people of faith to the parents of the teammates that our kids are playing volleyball with, just as a for instance, right? Or in the workplace, do people know that you're Catholic, that you're a person that has an animating principle in your life of your life of faith? This is where it all begins. This is where we're going to permeate the environments that we're in. Therefore, let me continue on. Okay. When Christians are entrusted by God with the apostolate, Christians are entrusted by God with the apostolate, which is what? That call to go forth, the call to be sent out by virtue of their baptism and confirmation. All right. It is only occasionally, or the duty is more pressing on them to make the divine message of salvation be known and accepted by all people throughout the earth. It is only through them that men can hear the gospel, when it is only through them that men can hear the gospel and know Christ. And so there, what this is saying, what I kind of stumbled through, but what it's saying is, you do have a mission field, and your mission field is in the places where God has planted you, in the relationships where God has planted you. And in those places, God has sent you to be that angel, that herald, that announcer and proclaimer of Jesus Christ and the gospel. You don't have to lead with, I'm here to pronounce the gospel, but you can bring the implications of the gospel into that circumstance and situation by the moral code, by the atmosphere that you bring, by what you radiate, by the things you talk about, by how you reach out and are respectful and kind and loving and compassionate, and yet also a clear and ethical, right? All of these things manifest Christ in that environment. Let me continue. Hence the laity, dedicated as they are to Christ and anointed by the Spirit, are marvelously called and prepared so that even richer fruits of the Spirit may be produced in them. For all their works, prayers, and apostolic undertakings, family and married life, daily work, relaxation of mind and body, if they are accomplished in the Spirit, indeed, even the hardships of life, if patiently borne, all these become spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Did you get that? In the celebration of the Eucharist, these may most fittingly be offered to the Father along with the body of the Lord. And so, worshiping everywhere by their holy actions, the laity consecrate the world itself to God, everywhere offering worship by the holiness of their lives. Boom. Man, that's a mic drop. That's paragraph 901. And it's actually quoting the Second Vatican Council, Lumen Gentium, paragraph 34. It's just so powerful and beautiful. What's that saying? Your life isn't just a matter of saying, I'm going to go out into the world as an apostolate, and I'm going to be salt, light, and leaven. Yes, it's all of that. But you know what? You're going to gather up all of that, and you're going to then go into prayer, especially into the Mass, which is liturgical prayer. That means it's the prayer of Christ the priest, and that offering up in sacrifice, you're going to gather up your whole life, all that you are, all of those works, activities, all of your family life, all that you are, all that you have, and you're going to give all of that over to the priest as that bread and wine go up. That's, you're going all in on the altar right there, and it'll make you holy. You see, holiness leads to mission, and mission leads to holiness. Holiness leads to mission, mission leads to holiness. Your pursuit of the Lord and holiness is going to cause a dynamism outward into the world. And as you go out into the world to be salt, light, and leaven, you will then be thrown back into the heart of it all, which is the worship of the Father through the Son in the Spirit. Now, we're only going to be able to do like this kind of life together. We weren't made to do it alone. We are made to do it together. We've got different gifts, different backgrounds, different anointings, different tendencies, different personalities, different capabilities, right? All of these things that the Lord, he's made us one body in Christ, and all of these gifts and graces that he's given to us are going to grow together. And so I need your yes. I'm desperate for your yes to the Lord, for your hidden, total giving of yourself to the Lord. When you do that, just say a prayer for me. I'll pray for you. Let's just agree to that. Let's just agree that when I make my act of total offering, I'm going to say yes on behalf of all of those, Lord, who are saying, please, yes, Tom, I want your yes to strengthen mine, and my yes will strengthen yours. We'll be part of the body of Christ together, lifting each other up. And so what doesn't happen when we're because we're not able to get together in the same room to hear the same talk or to be in part of the same study or be part of the same ministry, in the hidden work of the Spirit, we can support and encourage and help each other be accountable to living the life God has for us. This will be the hidden flame, the hidden fire, the hidden furnace of zeal, of courage, of anointing to be able to go forward on mission in our worlds and to start making a difference, or to make a bigger difference, a new level of difference, a whole new stage of difference. But it's not going to happen unless it gets all traced back to that fundamental act that we make. What will happen is that more Catholics will grow up in Catholic homes, going to Catholic church and fading away from the Catholic faith and not practicing their faith as they get older. More churches will close down. More consolidation will happen. It'll be that new winter that precedes the new springtime, the continued shrinking down of the church. And we might be like see glimmers of hope, like, oh, wow, look at all those young people that go to the SEEK conference. And look at all those people that are, you know, followers of Father Mike Schmitz and the Bible in a Year, or look at all the people that are, you know, participating online in that ministry. Those are not bad things, right? Those are good things. They can be immensely helpful and encouraging for so many. But is it disrupting the tsunami that is attacking the church? That leaves the church so weak and silent in front of these societal ills and evils that have clung to America to such a degree that we comfortably shrug our shoulders and say, what are you going to do? It's as long as I'm living in a peaceful neighborhood and I've got my stuff that kind of wards off the harshness of the world that's around me, and I find consolation in my faith, then you know what? I'll make it through, and I'll end up with a single gold coin life, maybe even bury it. But there's an option today. There's a different path forward. And it all begins with that radical act of a 10 cities life. I want a 10 cities life. I want a 10x return on the Lord's investment in me. And I say to you again, this is a God-given opportunity to you. It's not a God-given requirement from you. It's a God-given opportunity given to you. It's the parable of the rich. It's the story of the rich young man come alive today. We may not be rich in money and wealth, but we are rich in material prosperity that distracts us, that disperses us, and that diverts us from God's call. And so we end up settling for less than a 10 cities life. We don't have to do that. The Lord has more for us. And my hope and prayer is that you will say, I want all in. I'm in, Tom. Let's go. Let's go. All right. I'm at the end of my program. I hope and pray that this was a blessing to you. And I do pray God's blessings on you. And join me tomorrow for more of the program.